Well, good morning, everyone. It's great to be here with all of you. I love seeing everybody. I hope, like Larry said, people didn't hear I was going to be up here and scatter, but it's my earnest prayer that the Lord use me. He fills me with His Spirit, and the message I present is not my own, but His, and that He forbids me to speak anything that is untrue. And that it's relevant and encouraging to you. Studying it and preparing it has encouraged me and has helped me. So I pray that He uses me that way. And so I titled the message, God is Good. And at the top of my notebook here, I wrote, it's not me who is good, it's God. And I got kind of inspired for this a few Sundays ago. That preacher, I think the Joneses have been putting him up on the TV or whatever here. He made a point, and it was kind of a shot across the bow for me, or a wake-up call, that if we think our ministry, or this is kind of what he said, if we think our ministry is being out in the world and just living good lives and trying to be good, decent people without invoking the name of Christ, we're missing the ball. And that kind of struck me as, yeah, I like to try and help people. I like to get out there and encourage and help. But how often do I invoke Christ? Am I doing it so that people think I'm good? Or am I pointing that it's not me who's good, it's God? And I chose that verse out of Mark 18. Jesus was talking to a man came up to Jesus and was asking about how to get eternal life. And he, well, let me just turn to it here and I'll read it. Mark 10, let's see. Oh, it's starting at 17. He was setting out on a journey, and a man ran up to him and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God." And that was, I think Jesus was telling the man that, well, you came to the right place. No one is good except God, and you've recognized that I, Jesus, am good, and no one is good except God. And then, so, I'm going to turn to Matthew 5 and read a little bit. So, while I was stewing about, am I pronouncing, or is my example, is my life, am I pointing people towards Jesus, I thought about this country song I heard on the radio, and I don't listen to a lot of radio. I turned it on, and I heard this song, it might have been a while ago, that I believe most people are good. And I thought, well, this is a dumb song. Shut the radio off. And then, like, don't they know that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God? And, you know, but it's as I thought about it, it's a revelation, so to speak, of how the world looks at their fellow man, and that it's a belief that among a lot of people that people are mostly good. And and if we as Christians, if we're out in the world and all we're doing is being good, we're just going to fit that narrative for the world that most people are good. They're not going to see anything different. We'll just fit right into, yeah, he's a good guy. In Matthew 5, he goes through the Beatitudes here and then goes on and talks about being salt and light. But I'm just going to start at verse 1 and read through 16. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain and altar, and he sat down. his disciples came to him. He opened his mouth and began teaching them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the gentle, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for the reward in heaven is great. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how then can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled under the foot of men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does any light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So we are to be salt and light. But if we're failing to point our good works, our good deeds to the Father, our salt can become tasteless. And we'll fit that narrative that, you know, we're just good common folk. You know, because at the end there in 16, may they see your good works and glorify your Father. How are they going to know that your good works should lead to the glory of the Father? We need to be invoking and claiming, proclaiming Jesus while we're doing this. And so I thought of a few examples of people I know who've done this, and I guess, you know, it didn't really strike me that the intentionality of what they were doing until I really started thinking about this. One would be my dad. He's a nut. But he's got a white, plain white t-shirt that he wears a lot out in public. It says, Start Here. And I believe it's got Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 on it. Trust in the Lord always. Well, let's just read it. He'll look like a goofball wearing this, and he'll wear it out to nice places, and it's just pretty funny. But he does that. He can't hide it, and he loves to start sharing and talking with people about Christ, and he's wearing it on his shirt. There's no way he's going to hide it, and he's willing and ready to share it. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Whatever He does, that's a message He has brought, He likes to, and will bring out into the world. And sometimes I think, well, this guy's a nut. But He doesn't hide it, and He tries to reach people with that, even in simple ways as a t-shirt. And when he's not wearing the t-shirt, he does the same thing. And another guy I met whose intentionality for sharing Jesus, this is Keegan, Baugh Farm Repair over by Nisland. I bought a used tire from him once, and I went there to pick it up. And there was no way that guy was going to let me leave his place without talking to me about Jesus. And it was such an encouragement. We talked for I was there for well over an hour. But he had the good news in him, and he was, you know, a good guy. But that's not what he wanted me to leave his place with, or a used tire for that matter. He wanted to share the good news and make sure that I had that he knew that it, well, I shouldn't be looking at him as a good guy, that we have a good and loving Savior. Point me in that direction. And then one more example, and actually this fits in pretty nicely, was Ed Hawks. I was helping Halafka's. I don't know what we were doing, but we were working calves or something. Took a break, and Ed and I were sitting along a plank fence together in just some weeds, and he started picking the seeds apart and looking at them. And, well, boy, these are small. Do you think they're as small as a mustard seed? And I, well, I don't really know much about how big a mustard seed actually is. Anyways, and that's where his mind was, and he was wondering at this seed, and he was sharing with me, and we were talking about Jesus. And I turned to that. That's in Matthew 17. Ed wasn't there just being a good guy. He was there showing, evangelizing, sharing Jesus, that God is good. It's not Ed who was good, it's God. In Matthew 17, verse 14 through 20, and this is kind of an interesting, when they came to the crowd, a man came up to Jesus, falling on his knees before him, saying, "Lord, have mercy on my son. He is a lunatic and is very ill. He often falls into fire and often falls into the water. I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him." Jesus answered them, saying, "You unbelieving and perverted generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him to me." And Jesus rebuked him, and the demon came out of him, and the boy was cured at once. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not drive it out?" And Jesus said, "Because the littleness of your faith. For truly I say to you, if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing is impossible with you." I think the disciples did, precisely what I like to do and what was incorrect. And Jesus got frustrated with them. They're trying to go out and cast this demon out on their own. And Jesus gets frustrated here. And he's like, "Guys, I'm right here. Use me. Nothing's impossible, but it's through Christ. We can move mountains with our faith. But we need to invoke Christ." You know, the whole world could have sat around and tried to cast that demon out of the boy, but without Christ's help, it was impossible. And he showed up. Well, we have no less access to Christ than the disciples did. We carry him with us. And if we're out trying to be good people and trying to share the world, and we don't introduce the guy we're carrying around with us, how will they know him? So, I guess as I've thought about it, and this is a personal example and something I'm going to strive to work on, but I think it's a relevant message, is as I'm out in the world, I need to be invoking and introducing the guy I'm carrying around with me more and sharing him so that people understand and don't look to Isaac as a good guy, a good neighbor, but, you know, "I believe most people are good" kind of situation. But I need to point to the guy who's actually good and share him, and then that way be salt and light to the world. And thank you.